thank you for joining us. My name is Rory McCann. I am the Director of Marketing and a Conference Producer with Life Science Nation. I'm joined today by Naveed Alipour. He is the co-founder and managing partner at Analytics Ventures. He is the founder and CEO of digital health companies CureMetrics and CureMatch, and is currently based in sunny San Diego. Naveed, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure, Rory. And I'd add sunny and very humid for us, San Diego, right now.
Excellent. Hopefully the sun stays, the humidity can go. But let's actually stay on San Diego for a second. A recent article in BizNow referred to San Diego as a location that has seen less economic downturn, specifically in venture capital investment in the life science market, as opposed to most other places in the United States, not to mention the world. Can you weigh in on why that might be? And additionally, what would make a city or a region more investable or less prone to market changes?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a great question. So San Diego, if you go back, to the early 20th century, San Diego is a military town, right? The defense industry created San Diego, just like the defense industry, frankly, created the Silicon Valley. In the 90s, when the Cold War ended, it hit the economy hard. The economy was not very diversified. Since then, the economy has gotten incredibly diversified. So you still have the defense companies from the military presence here. You have, of course, tourism. You have UCSD, San Diego State, USD, Cal State San Marcos, Point Loma Nazarene. You have the academic institutions. And so because of that, this entire industry of biotech and healthcare and life science has been created, which are incredibly high paying jobs, and they attract the best and brightest from all over the world. And then once you get to San Diego, it's a nice place to stay. So it's got a diversified economy.
That's a really interesting perspective. I guess I never thought about that, how diversified the economy is when you have those investments from different sectors that come together to create this great environment for biotech to thrive. That's a really interesting perspective. And I think that speaks also to how a region can be more investable when you do diversify those economies. So I hope that can maybe inspire some early stage founders who are looking to make a dent in other parts of the world that aren't known for those industries like Silicon Valley, maybe inspire them a little bit to look outside of that and be a part of that diversification.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point, Rory. And the fact is, talent doesn't know borders or boundaries. Geniuses are found in all corners of the world. Companies can start anywhere. And I think it's the job of government and those that are in power politically to reduce as many hurdles as possible to make that happen. And so San Diego has done a better than average job, obviously. So that's where government really does come into play, and in the macro and geopolitical environment affects ecosystem where someone could build a company, get a job at a high-paying company.
Is there something that tech hubs and administrators and organizers who are part of these local governments can do to really set up their area to make it a more inviting environment for these early stage founders and their companies? Essentially, how can regional groups set up these companies for a larger, potentially global impact?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think first and foremost, it's got to be nonpartisan, right? So here in San Diego, we have the San Diego EDC, the Economic Development Corp. And it doesn't matter if, it's Republican or Democrat or independent or, whatever way the wind is swaying, their mission is really twofold, job creation and job retention. And they do a good job with that, right? In giving the tax credits, helping attract talent from outside of San Diego to come move here, go to school here, whether it's the tax credits or R&D or helping reduce red tape to build a new headquarters for a company that wants to relocate here. These are all important. And in the current environment where you have so-called digital nomads that can go work anywhere in this hybrid or even 100% virtual work environment, to make that an attractive place for those folks that have high-paying white-collar jobs to want to pick up and move to work digitally from your respective area. And guess what? They plant roots there. Their kids go to school there. They go to the local coffee shop, they meet people, they end up then, planting roots. And that's really the beginning of building an ecosystem or propelling it to the next level to then have companies be formed and created.
That's really great insight. And I think it shows that San Diego is currently seeing the benefits of those investments made years ago. So I hope if anyone who is listening, who is affiliated with a tech hub or a local organization, to start planting those seeds now.
Indeed. And I mean, we have the blessing of a nice location and weather, but it doesn't have to be the case. There are plenty of incredible cities and academic institutions and talent, and there's talent everywhere. And the job of those government organizations and academic institutions is to help attract and retain more talent.
Absolutely. Let's actually shift gears a little bit and look at the economic impact from the perspective of a founder who is looking to expand their team, who's looking to grow. You have the unique and very powerful experience of being on both sides of the table as an investor, also as a founder. So share how a founder can start building kind of an inflation-proof team around them. A lot of founders that we speak to right now are really nervous about what investment will look like in the next 5 to 10 years.
So there is no right way to answer that. There's a lot of different avenues we can go down. The benefit of, you know, wearing both the investor hat and the operator hat is I can understand both perspectives. It's important to find team members that obviously complement one's own strengths. I always say, you know, my job is to find people smarter than me and get out of their way and to trust them and not to micromanage them. Of course, everyone is accountable. And being in healthcare, you generally tend to find people that are more mission-driven. And so I think it's important to look at that. And so if you're a doctor, if you're a scientist, find someone who's not, right? Find the, you know, the business exec, whether from pharma, from the insurance world, from the hospital world, from the consulting world that has exposure to the industry from the business side, and vice versa. You find people to complement and build the team that can, you know, get that technology to market, of course, as fast as possible. And I think being mission driven, if someone is going to leave your company for slightly higher pay elsewhere, then you don't want them. Like, you don't need them, right? If someone is just about the money, if you're trying to build a team, they're not going to be there long term. Obviously, people have to do what's best for their families, and that's another story. But I think it's important to find those people that have the values that you have and the mission that you have and can do something better than yourself.
I think that's such a great point. The fit is so much more than what's on the resume. It's also what drives you. Does this align with something that is going to keep your team invested and motivated more so than, like you said, a certain number on a paycheck or something? Obviously, those things matter and should be taken into account, but you want to be aligned on those things.
Absolutely. And one other thing I'll add, I'd be remiss if I didn't, be generous with equity. I have seen so many startups, and I'll call them wannabe entrepreneurs, because I don't call someone a true entrepreneur if they're being super stingy with giving equity, giving options, arguing over advisor options, and should they give, you know, 0.25% instead of 0.5%. Look, this vests over 4 years. You give a little bit more, you exceed their expectation, and if they don't deliver, you can terminate it, and those options that are now vested come back to the company. Don't be stingy with the equity if you're cash poor. You have cash and equity to value and compensate someone. You know, so if someone has a lot of equity, they're going to think long and hard and twice about going elsewhere if they truly believe in what the company is doing, if they have skin in the game.
I couldn't agree more. Putting that up front kind of answers that question maybe a little bit better, a little bit earlier, and saves everyone a lot of trouble down the road. Touching back on something that you said before about making sure that you aren't the smartest person in the room, these brilliant people can still be their brilliant selves running the company, but maybe not necessarily knowing what they don't know. That only adds value to your company if you have the best people who can do those things, and it doesn't limit what you can do to the company. In fact, it only expands it.
Well said. No, that's absolutely true. With the equity component, you know, whether it's you're looking for a co-founder or a full-time employee or advisor / board member, it's important to bring people to the table from, you know, different backgrounds. And that's where your board, whether it's your board of directors that has fiduciary responsibilities, your board of advisors come into play, to have folks with different backgrounds and Rolodexes so that they can help open doors you can't.
What are some mistakes that you see early stage teams, founders, boards making that are only obvious when there is some kind of market downturn.
Not raising enough money is at the top of the list. If there's money on the table, I would highly encourage to take it. Of course, within reason, and that, you know, no one could answer that, but for, you know, the board and the founders in this environment, there's probably a lot of company founders and CEOs and execs and boards that wish they took that additional capital. And now they might be in a position where they have to do a down round, they have to do layoffs, they have to make decisions they don't want to make. If the money is on the table, it's always better to raise more than less.
How would you balance the need for the capital and the need for a good fit and a good team around you? Because good looking deals come by, but it really might not be a good long-term partnership. What should early stage founders be looking at when weighing those costs, especially right now?
It depends what that source of capital is. Of course, as long as the wire clears, that's money in the bank. But smart capital is always better, obviously, in that they can get your product to market faster. They could help avoid hurdles that you may not see or be aware of. And so that's where I would say to raise from, let's say, corporate VC, everything's got its pros and cons, but the benefit of getting those investors is that they have LPs, you know, limited partners, investors that are the payers, the providers, the pharma companies. That just helps move things along that much faster, right? And time is money. So I would strongly, especially in the healthcare world, you know, look for those investors. And of course, you have your traditional VCs that are investors that are fantastic. And I say investors because it could also be a family office. I think it's important what that source of capital is. And even if it's an individual and it's a smaller dollar amount, that smaller amount could be worth 10x in amount from, let's say, just a traditional plain vanilla institutional investor based on what that person or family office can bring to the table. Capital raising and fundraising is a necessary evil of the job of the CEO. If you don't like to do it, you need to then honestly think of replacing yourself. Make money and raise money so that then you can attract and retain the right team members. And obviously that's not, there's other jobs to it, but if you don't have money, that's the lifeblood of the company.
Yeah. And it's important to remember that no matter what the market looks like, no matter where you are in the world, that's really important. And having the right team around you to support you and to keep things going while you are doing that is
exactly essential. And that's where, you know, hold everyone accountable, but not to micromanage. And as long as they're hitting their milestones, and then those milestones make the job of the CEO that much easier, whether it's regulatory clearance, whether it's CPT codes, whether it's, you know, getting patents filed, whether it's, you know, closing new partnerships and deals. And of course, at the end of the day, the bottom line revenue speaks for itself. And so as long as you're showing that progress, there are investors that might say no now, but investor relations and corporate communications is the full-time job. They say no now, but you're keeping them updated and they get comfortable with you. They understand the company, the team, and they might invest on the next round. And so it's important to not close doors. If investor says, you know, no today, you know, try to identify what those hurdles were that led to no. And as you knock them down, keep them posted and that no can become a yes.
I think that is so valuable. And that is something I hope every founder who attends Resi or is on any fundraising journey keeps in mind. I can't tell you how many have sent one message, gotten one no, and that was the end of the story. And it's really just leaving potentially a really great relationship on the table that could result in, who knows, maybe capital down the road, maybe other introductions, maybe other pieces of the puzzle come together. And that is through those relationships. So I'm glad that you mentioned that.
And you have to have thick skin. I mean, you can't be in this job and not have thick skin, because you're going to get many, many, many more no's to every yes. And if you take that personally, then you're in the wrong job.
Absolutely. Buckle up for the road ahead. Naveed, thank you so much for sharing your insight. And I feel like we covered a lot, but I appreciate all of your perspectives kind of coming together to offer that advice and insight into our ecosystem here. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Hopefully there are some nuggets that are useful there to the audience.
Absolutely.